Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We come this morning to those three verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. After walking through the whole book, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And what should strike us as we come to those words is the fact that they're so compressed, so compact. I mean, each one of those phrases, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything, each one could be a paragraph, the way Paul writes, or at least one of those long, run-on sentences. But he just uses a few words. It's so tight, so condensed. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. In fact, some people said Paul must have been running out of paper. His parchment was coming to an end, and he's writing in the margins, you know, like some of you do, in just tight little words. Or some have even said, well, Timothy's ship was about to set sail. Paul was out of time. And so he had to hurry up and finish his letter. It almost feels that way, doesn't it? Like Paul is squeezing, he's hurrying. But I think that what we should understand is that this is a letter, like all of Paul's letters, that was written with the intent that it be read publicly in a service of worship. In fact, he'll say that specifically in verse 27 of chapter 5. Read this out loud for everybody to hear. And so Paul was writing to the ear. And when we read these verses, especially in the language of the New Testament, the original text, we realize that there's a certain rhythm to the way they sound, the way where the verbs are and the rest of the sentence. There's a kind of a cadence to it. And so it's clear what's going on here is Paul wants the congregation to remember these words. And so he puts them together in a nice little package. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He wants you to memorize this. This is your memory verse. Rejoice always. In fact, read it with me out loud. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You think we could memorize that? How many of you think you could memorize that? Raise your hand. Well, let's do it right now. Go on to the next slide. Read this out loud with me. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Leave that slide up there. Let's read it again. Some of you, I'm not sure you have it yet. Read it out loud. We're memorizing it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You getting it? Let me give you another challenge. Next slide. Can you do it now? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's do it again with that slide. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You guys are good. Let's try the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You got it? Let's go with a blank screen. Nothing up there. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You finally got something out of the sermon, didn't you? When your mom and dad says, what did you talk about in church today? You can tell them now. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. That's how you memorize, by the way. Just read it over and over and over again. Close your eyes little by little until you got it. And now repeat that. Every time I say it this morning, you whisper it and repeat it 20 more times before lunch and 50 more times before you go to bed, and you'll have it memorized. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Paul wanted us to hide this word in our hearts. And now that you have it memorized, I want to make sure you understand what Paul is saying. This is not going to be a long and complicated sermon on a short and simple little text. But I do want to clarify some common misunderstandings, some common really objections to these verses. These are familiar verses. And if we're honest, we'll admit that oftentimes when we hear these words, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, we push back against that just a little bit. And our objections usually come in two areas. Sometimes we say, you know, Paul doesn't understand how I feel. If Paul knew how sad I am, if Paul knew my disappointment, if Paul really understood how bad I feel, then he wouldn't tell me to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in every circumstance. He doesn't understand how I feel. And like unto that is a second objection. Paul does not take into account my circumstances. I mean, it's easy for Paul to say, rejoice always. But he doesn't know what I'm going through. He's not connected to my reality. He doesn't understand how I feel, and he doesn't take into account the severity of my circumstances. I mean, sometimes when we hear these words, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, we're tempted to hear that like they're words produced in the creative writing room at Hallmark Incorporated, right? Just some kind of trite, shallow, surface phrase that sounds good that you might put on a card and send out. It sounds nice, but it also seems distant and disconnected from my reality. Sometimes that's how we feel when we hear the words. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And so in order to clarify, make sure you understand what you've memorized, let's make some observations here from the text. Let's say it together one more time. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Observe, first of all, that this word is not focused on how we feel. Paul here is not in any way writing about how we feel. It's not what these verses are about. We find here some commandments that are focused on our behaviors, not our feelings. Paul here is focused on what we express, not what we experience. When he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. There are three commandments there. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. And those are all commandments that focused on what we do, on how we behave. Specifically, remember, we're going to see that this letter was written to be read in public worship. So Paul, I think, primarily has in mind how the people of God behave when they gather together. But he also clearly from the text is declaring that in the whole course of our life, wherever we go and whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we're to be marked by these behaviors. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. The word rejoice is not a word that commands us to feel joyful. It's a word that it commands us to express our joy over what the Lord has done for us. You just sang it in both the songs you sang. Both of those songs said, no matter how we feel, we're going to rejoice. Because rejoice is not a joy we feel in our hearts. It's an expression. It's what we declare. Pray. Give thanks. Again, this is not a commandment to feel gratitude. Paul's not commanding us to have a certain warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. He is commanding us to express thanksgiving, to declare our gratitude, to give thanks, to rejoice, and to pray. Remember that we're studying these verses in the context of the whole of the letter, and we know that in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul turns the corner and says, now, church, let me write to you about how you ought to walk so as to please God and show yourself to be His distinctive people, His holy, sanctified people. Let me tell you about behaviors that if you make them a part of your life will please God and will set you apart from the rest of the world as God's people, God's holy people. And three of those behaviors come in these commands. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Malcolm, one of my favorite people from the 20th century is a guy named Malcolm Muggeridge. Muggeridge was a journalist, a writer. In his early years, he was an atheist. He was a socialist. He liked communism. He wrote for a British newspaper. And he lived most of the time in Moscow, and writing about the communist government. Later on, he converted to Christ and had a strong Christian witness. He tells a story about being in Moscow one Easter, and he was writing a story about the decline of religion under communist rule in Moscow. So he went to a church, a Russian Orthodox church, on Easter Sunday. He was surprised to find it packed full. And when the old dry Russian Orthodox priest stood up and said, Christ the Lord is risen, he was startled to hear all the people stand to their feet immediately and with one voice shout, He is risen indeed. And Muggeridge writes, when I saw the joy on their faces, I knew that they were right. What sets us apart? Joy, prayer, giving thanks. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Listen, this is strong language. It's unusual for Paul to say so directly, this is God's will for you. He doesn't do that very often. In fact, one of the great things about 1 Thessalonians is that Paul, who almost never uses this kind of language, twice in this little letter, says, this is God's will for you. You remember at the beginning of chapter 4? He says to the Christians, this is God's will for you, your sanctification. And here, this is God's will for you, that your behavior be marked by rejoicing, prayer, and the giving of thanks. If I did a survey in Oklahoma City and said, tell me what behaviors mark Christians. How do Christians behave? What do you think our city would say? I'm afraid that complaining and criticizing might make the list before rejoicing and giving thanks. Even most people in a church today, if I asked them, what are the behaviors that set us apart as the people of God? Most would have a long list before they got down to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. But Paul says, this is God's will for you. This is what pleases God and what sets you apart as the people of God. When your life, your behavior is marked by rejoicing, prayer, and giving thanks. That's an important question for each one of us to ask. The people who live with you, under your roof, the people that work with you, that know you best, would they describe your life with these words? Are you a person who consistently is rejoicing and praying and giving thanks? So Paul, first of all, is not talking about feelings. We read this and we immediately feel this pressure of, well, I don't feel happy. Paul's saying, this verse is not saying, forget your troubles, come on, get happy. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not talking about how we feel. But he is talking about behavior. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. And let me say, secondly, this word is not about how we feel, but this word is connected to reality. Make no mistake. Remember, we've learned that 1 Thessalonians is what we call an occasional letter. What we mean by that is it's a letter written to real people in a real place, at a real time, living real lives. And one of the great things about studying 1 Thessalonians is from studying the letter, but also from reading the book of Acts, we have this great insight into what was going on with these people. And so when these people first heard this letter, here's what we know about them. They were a people under severe persecution. Some of them had been rejected by their families. They were isolated, disinherited, cut off. Some of them had literally been drugged through the streets, put on trial, forced to post a financial bond, money that they would lose if they kept talking about Jesus. They had experienced legal attacks and public humiliation. And Paul has the audacity to say, you need to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Paul, who wrote this letter, had been beaten within an inch of his life, put in stocks, imprisoned, before he came to Thessalonica, and then he was forced out of town and forced out of the next town. He was suffering. In fact, if you just turn the page back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul will say to the church at Thessalonica, when the gospel came to you, you responded. Well, look what it says. Since I was so busy memorizing chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, I couldn't do this one. But chapter 1, verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That Paul sees no contradiction there. Because the joy is not about the circumstance. These are people, Paul says, you are under much tribulation. And so we don't need to understand this word as something that's disconnected from reality. This is not theory. This is a real man writing to real people under harsh circumstances. And he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I went to a conference early in the year, and there were three speakers in the conference, all of them intelligent and articulate, qualified. And one was an academic. He spent his life in the classroom writing. The other was young, just kind of getting started, really. The third is a man who's been a pastor for 40 years. Which one do you think that I was more interested in hearing from? And I wanted the guy who had lived it. That's how we are, right? Listen, Paul's not in a classroom. He's not in an ivory tower. He's really suffering. And he's writing to people who are really suffering. In fact, consider what you know from 1 Thessalonians. You know that the Apostle Paul says 8 different times in this short little letter, be encouraged. Encourage one another. I want to encourage you. Be encouraged. Let me encourage you. Encourage one another. 8 times. What's that tell you about life in Thessalonica? It tells you that the Apostle Paul was concerned that this body of believers were discouraged. He knew enough about them and their lives to fear that they were sad, that they were disappointed, that they felt disconnected from God. His concern is that their feelings and their circumstances were so harsh, were so dark, that they might just stop rejoicing, quit praying, and no longer give thanks. So the very content and context of the Word of God here tells us that this is real. It's about real life and real people. And it's not about how we feel. Rejoice all the time. Pray constantly. Give thanks no matter what happens to you. For this is the way God wants His people to live. People who know Jesus. When we read this text, the power of it, the provocative part, it's not the verbs, but the adverbs. We expect rejoice, pray, give thanks. What challenges us are the words always, without ceasing, everything. That's what challenges us. In every circumstance, without ceasing, always. But think about this with me. Everybody rejoices sometimes. Everybody prays occasionally. Everybody gives thanks when they feel grateful. There's nothing remarkable about that. What sets the people of God apart is that in spite of feelings and regardless of circumstance, there's something going on in our life that consistently moves us to rejoice and to pray and to give thanks. McLaren, the old Scottish preacher, said, there's nothing remarkable about a candle that burns. But what is remarkable is when the candle continues to burn, even when a strong wind is blowing. That's the kind of life that the Apostle Paul is calling us to here in this text. A stubborn, remarkable determination to be a different kind of people. And here's the key. Verse 18. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that's not a throwaway line. That's not an obligatory ribbon that Paul has to put on this package. It's the foundation of everything. The reason that we as a people can be a people who rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks is because we are a people who live our lives in Christ Jesus. See, that's the point. We live in Christ Jesus. And so the commandment here from the Apostle Paul is to bring your feelings and your circumstances into focus by examining them, by experiencing them in the light of the cross of Jesus. Paul's not calling us to deny how we feel or to minimize our situation, but he is calling us to bring our feelings and our circumstances to the foot of the cross. And to consider them in light of who we are in Christ Jesus. Every reality here is a reality that is only properly understood in light of the fact that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. The light of the cross. And the life we have in Christ Jesus. And so it's who we are in Christ that gives us the grace to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in every circumstance. Let's pray together. Father, these words challenge us. They challenge us to live a different way of life. They challenge us to be a people for whom the cross is so real. It's the greatest reality in all of our existence. It's the reality by which we filter and everything else, how we feel and what we do. Father, I pray that we, as your people, would be a people marked by rejoicing and prayer and the giving of thanks. This would be pleasing in your sight. Let's continue for a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing a song as we continue in worship. And it's a song that gives you an opportunity to respond to God's Word and to His Holy Spirit. In a moment when we stand and sing this song, some people may come forward and use these front steps as a place of prayer. Maybe confessing sin, asking God for grace, lifting up some need that you have on your heart, setting your feelings and your circumstances at the feet of Jesus. In a moment when we stand and sing, some people may come forward because they want to join our church today. We'd love to have you, talk to you about that commitment. And some of you here have never made a personal commitment to Christ. And you realize your whole life is ruled by your feelings, dictated by your circumstance. You're all over the map, unstable and unpredictable. You need Jesus. You need Christ Jesus to be your Lord. You need to embrace the cross as the greatest reality of life. So that in Christ Jesus you can rejoice always. Give thanks in every circumstance. Pray without ceasing. Would you come to Christ today? Only Jesus can give you this kind of life. You come to Christ today. We'll help you in that commitment. As we stand together and sing, you come right now.